welcome to episode 11 of Connecting the Host. Today we're going to be talking about Doom, which returns as a brutally fun and challenging modern-day shooter experience. Relentless demons, impossibly destructive guns, and fast, fluid movement provide the foundation for intense first-person combat. We're both playing this game on Steam, and I was very fortunate to get a free copy from you, but it would cost you £40 if you don't happen to have a friend who's buying Acer hardware with leftover keys.
I was going to say, it's quite ironic. I had no intention of playing Doom because I thought it would shit me up. And then I bought a Asus motherboard and I was like, oh, I get a free copy of Doom. Would you like it? And you're like, yeah, sure, great. And then I bought an Asus monitor and got a free copy of Doom. So I literally played it to test out the Vulkan API they added and then got addicted to it. We played it and blah, blah, blah. But neither of us paid for it. We got it from the good folks at Asus. So thank you to them for semi-sponsoring the show.
Free games, but not in a biased way. No. That's the perfect way to play. So, but if you're not fortunate enough to have a free code lying around, then I think it's going to cost you about £40. And probably the same on PS4 and Xbox One, although maybe you can find it on offer
it's
now on Amazon.
It's always on discount.
Yeah, you probably get it for £20 now if you don't mind waiting a little bit. So I've been playing it on my gaming PC with my... At the time, it wasn't an ultra-wide monitor when I started playing it. And then I upgraded while playing it. So prior to that, it was my 2560x1440p monitor and a GTX 1080, of course. So it was a gorgeous game on my hardware. And yourself, Ben, what were you playing it on?
Yeah, I've always played it on a GTX 1080 and ultra wide monitor at 3440x1440, and it really is a beautiful game. I alternated between using the, I think it was OpenGL drivers or using Vulkan, and I think I ended up going back to OpenGL just because it was got a slightly higher frame rate. I mean, all the time I was getting over 100 FPS, so it was always a beautifully built game. Like, they've obviously optimized it well.
So obviously here on Connecting to Host, we look at games from a multiplayer and co-op perspective. But perhaps before we get into that, because Doom, I guess, is bigger as a solo game, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about the single-player experience, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially the original Doom. Like, if you go back all the way to the 90s and you have original Doom and Doom 2, it really goes back to that. I was worried it was going to be more like the Doom 3, sort of like horror-style, shit-you-up kind of game, but it's really not. It's more of an epic single-player campaign with, like, a ton of shooting and a lot of hard collectibles to find. And the puzzles are literally, oh, there's a yellow door, you need a yellow key. That dude over there's got the yellow key. It's like, okay, kill him. Got the key, open the door. So it's fairly basic, but it's a lot of fun. A lot of good guns, upgradability. They had a really cool, I think they call it some sort of, like, I want to say brutalist, but that doesn't sound quite right. They have the method of you gaining health back. It doesn't use the standard first-person shooter thing of, oh, get in cover, squat down for 10 seconds and you get all your health back. Instead, if you go and grab an imp by the face and rip it apart, you get health. And it's like, well, that's a pretty cool mechanic. And if you want ammo, use the chainsaw, because if you chainsaw monsters apart, you get ammo, and it's like, well, fine, I'm sold on that. So really, I mean, as a single, I would label this as a single player game with a tacked on multiplayer, and we're going to talk about that in a bit, about maybe how their marketing and DLC and all the rest of it has gone a bit skew with that. But in terms of multiplayer features, I mean, they describe it as Doom signature fast paced arena style combat. I'd have an issue with that, but okay, that's what they call it. It's basic multiplayer. On the Steam page, they have a little thing that says, like, oh, it's got this and this and this and this. One of the things they say is co-op, which is an issue because there is no co-op at all of any kind. This is purely multiplayer shooting arena style gaming. There's no co-op campaign, which is a great shame because we would have enjoyed that a lot more, I feel. All of the DLC for the game is around the multiplayer. So it's things like extra maps and weapons, which we'll discuss lately. But essentially, it's a single-player game with online multiplayer added on, which I believe was actually done by a different development team as well, which explains a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting. So before we start digging into the multiplayer, I just want to sing the praises of the single player one more time. I was really worried about that kind of canned animation with the fatalities, or whatever they're called. But they work really well, because they happen so quick. I think that was so fast-paced, and there's quite a big variety, so you can just bash through the enemies and try them all out. But I feel like I should sing the praises of the single player before I maybe knock down the multiplayer a little bit. But yeah, the single player, I think it's great. But here on the show, we're more interested in the multiplayer and co-op experience. So just to give you an overview, I guess, of the multiplayer experience as a whole, you fire up the game, you have to then fire up the multiplayer experience, which I guess explains the separate development.
And it literally restarts the game. Like, you crash back to desktop, and then it relaunches the game, presumably with some sort of flag to say multiplayer mode. It's utterly terrible the way that it
janky
works.
Janky experience, yeah. So just awful. It's so painful when you have to go through the whole loading process again. Kind of, bang your head against the wall. But let's get over that for a second and talk about the actual game itself. And I definitely say it is an arena-style shooter. It has the kind of the hallmark qualities of an Unreal-type shooter game, where you start the round with rocket launchers. You can do lots of double jumping. It's very fast-paced, and there's kind of very well laid out battle arenas where you can jump around, take little elevators up, or there are these little jump pads, right, that fire you up in the air. So everyone's zipping around the map quite a lot. And at its heart, it's got all the kind of hallmark features of a, I'm going to say again, Unreal-style game. It's been so long since I played the original Doom in multiplayer, it's hard to say if it really has the same feel. And I fear if I were to go back and play the original Doom now in multiplayer, I wouldn't have a good opinion of it. So maybe it is a lot like it. grew up from that.
Yeah, if you went back and played GoldenEye multiplayer, like the original Nintendo 64 GoldenEye, you'd be like, what the hell is this that I'm playing? This isn't how I remember it. I remember it being way better. And I have a feeling that this is kind of like the original Doom multiplayer, but just in the modern day. And it's just like, well, things have changed. There's, you know, a lot of really good first-person shooter multiplayer games now, and you can't just get away with this kind of basic stuff. But
I actually think there's a, for me at least, there is actually a space for a good, just fun arena-style game. Kind of, there's also a space for the kind of Call of Duty game where it's a bit more serious and you want to crawl along the floor, get to the peak and shoot with your sniper rifle. Sometimes you just want to run around Unreal-style, pick up the flat cannon and just, you know, blow someone away. But for me, yeah, I mean, we'll get on to our likes and dislikes.
The problem with that, though, is that there is Unreal. Like, Unreal hasn't gone away. It's available for that. And so when you're putting it up against, you've got your Call of Duty, you've got your Battlefields, you've got your Star Wars Battlefront, you've got Titanfall 2, and you've got Unreal, and then you've got this. It's like, where does it fit into all of that? It's tricky, because most of those games are solely multiplayer. That's my issue, is that this is a single-player game that's excruciatingly good, and then the multiplayer is sort of shoehorned in there. But
again, though, at least for me, I if it were more, I don't know, if it had a lot more of the fun of Unreal, then I could have pictured myself playing it a bit more, because there is, you know, I still have a penchant for the, you know, just run around and shoot things, not worry too much about being serious for a night, have a couple of beers and play. But yeah, just didn't hit the mark, unfortunately. So when it's up against Unreal, even though the latest Unreal is quite old now, it still doesn't quite. Just something missing. But let's go into the game modes anyway. So we primarily played the standard team-based deathmatch version, I guess. And that, yeah, I guess that's kind of why they put the co-op label on it. But I mean, it's such a hectic and frantic running around experience. There wasn't any scope for playing it what I would call co-op. In something like Battlefield, you can hang around with your squad, but in this, it was just all out. Rah, 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 shoot, 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 jump, 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 rockets everywhere. So there was the regular team-based deathmatch. They had a capture the flag mode and a king of the hill. All fairly standard affair, I guess. And then there was the game mode where you had to collect souls, right? So you would kill people and then you have to pick up their souls and try and get away with them before the other teams did. So
yeah, that was the only one that wasn't team-based as well. That was the only one where you were like total free-for-all. All the rest of them you were on team red or blue type thing. Whereas that one you were completely, you know, left to your own devices and it's just collect as many souls as possible.
Yeah. But, you know, in terms of game modes, I guess it didn't really have anything that was groundbreaking. It's just the standard multiplayer with, and most games nowadays try and put one of their own slightly unique ones in, and collecting souls was a little bit different to killing people, but not much, because you had to kill them first anyway. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it has basically the standard arcade arena game modes. So maybe you want to talk a bit about the DLC that they brought out then.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about this, when you consider it as a single-player game, winner of many awards, a lot of people put it in their like top game of 2015. Kind of interesting that for their DLC strategy, all three pieces of DLC are multiplayer. So every one of them is identical in that they added three new maps, a new weapon, new taunts, and a few new outfits. But essentially, I mean, essentially, if you think of the DLC in the original Titanfall, it's that. So you have all the problems inherent of that. Like if you try and search for a game, well, if you don't have the Unto the Evil DLC pack, you're not going to get one because everyone's playing that now. So it's kind of an interesting strategy when everyone else is moving away from that they decided to go, oh, you know what, we could add an extra level or two to the really epic single player game. No, let's just do DLC for the multiplayer. Let's get everyone doing the multiplayer. So there were three packs, Unto the Evil, Hell Followed, and Bloodfall, and they literally each added three new maps. So you got nine new maps if you bought all of them, I think three new weapons and a load of new taunts, that kind of stuff. I didn't buy or play any of the DLC, so I can't really comment on how they were, like if the maps were like, holy shit, this is amazing, this is so much better now. I haven't heard anything to that effect in any reviews or speaking to people I know who have played the multiplayer, so I get the feeling it kind of was just you know, oh okay, you've played these maps to death, here's a couple more, which is fair enough. I mean, I don't have any problem with the game pursuing that strategy. It's fine if you're something like the original Titanfall, when the game was purely online multiplayer and nothing else, but it's kind of a weird strategy for a ultimately single player first person shooter to follow that strategy. But
such a shame. I would have easily just picked up more single player content if they were like, hey, here's two more hours, three more stages to walk around. I
absolutely
bought it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
But the MP DLC just wasn't, well, we weren't playing the MP, so no. why would we buy it? So maybe we can focus a bit more on some of the unique things that I say unique, one of them is unique, the other's fairly generic, features that they brought for the multiplayer. And I guess the one thing they had that most other games don't have an equivalent to is this mechanic of demon transformations. So depending on the game mode, the frequency would be different, but different after a certain amount of time, there would be basically a pickup that appears in the map. And then when you collect it, you transform into your predetermined demon. So before the match starts, you would pick your type of demon. I know that you unlocked more, I think, because you played more, because you start off with just one and you can then unlock the different types. And then you would transform into this demon and go on a massive killing spree. You'd have a huge health bar and a bunch of powers you could use, and you could kind of wreak havoc on the map. Yeah, I guess it was, in essence, it was trying to be a little bit similar to Titanfall, maybe, where you got into a Titan.
I was going to suggest that. Yeah, I was going to say, originally, I was thinking in the back of my mind, oh, it's kind of like Titanfall with the Titans. But it's not, because with the Titans, everyone can call those in at a certain point. This is more akin, I feel, to Star Wars Battlefront's hero tokens, where literally, if you're the first to get to the token, then you can be Luke Skywalker until someone kills you, and then it'll respawn somewhere, and then someone else can be Princess Leia or whatever. And it just was massively overpowered. It's like, it's one of those things that's like, oh, shit, now we've got to deal with this guy that's a giant like Balrog creature running around the place. It's like, oh, and you just instantly die. It's very similar to Battlefront, but the difference being in Battlefront, you die constantly all the time anyway, because there's 20v20 and there's lasers flying everywhere, so it didn't really matter if you got killed by a stray laser or by Luke Skywalker. Whereas in this, it was very much a case of, if you see this, you're dead.
Yeah.
unless you're very lucky.
Yeah, and it felt unbalanced to the experience, because as soon as someone picked it up, but it also suffers from the thing where, in a lot of games like Halo and stuff, where if the people know where these pickups are likely to appear, obviously you never get them. So as the new player, not only do you have to fight massive demons frequently, you never get to be one. So it's kind of demoralizing. You're just like, someone else has got this pickup and I get to watch them kill loads of people, but... Oh, and then again.
On the rare chance that you do pick one up, you've got no idea what the controls are or what you're doing, and you just die. And you're like, what the hell? I'm supposed to be this powerful demon.
Like, it's just weird turning into a demon. It's just a bit.
Huh? I was going to save this for later, but my issue with the multiplayer, and I don't say this often because I'm prepared to suspend belief, but, like, what the fuck? Everyone is the Doom guy. Why are they all shooting each other? Why are you on different teams? Like, it makes no thematic sense. You're just like all in this base. You all look the same. You're all shooting each other. And occasionally one of you turns into a demon. It's like, okay, maybe that shit flew in the 90s when, you know, this stuff was kind of starting out. But at least Titanfall had the good sense to be like, well, you know, you're the basically bad guys and you're the basically good guys and you're kind of fighting each other, but don't think about it too much. Whereas this is just like blatantly like you're all the same, but just working out. You've got red,
at least
got
Unreal
blue.
As well, they have the premise of a tournament, right? So it's kind of okay, it's just random killing each other, but no, you want to be the best fighter, so you're in a tournament. Whereas this is just kind of we're all just dressed up in Doom guy outfits killing each other for fun.
You enjoyed shooting in the single player, you'll enjoy it here.
But there was a reason in the single player.
Exactly, very odd. I mentioned the only other thing about that, the features of the game, really, because I mean it's fairly basic, is the progression system, which is fairly similar to Titanfall 2, I guess. You've got lots of stuff you can unlock, be it weapons, taunts, outfits, all that kind of stuff. So I don't think there was anything. It's not like, oh, you get to level 30 and you get the sniper rifle, which is going to make you ridiculously powerful. I mean, all the weapons you start with are probably fine. If you're a good enough player, you can probably beat anyone with like the level 1 loadout. But as you progress, you just unlock more stuff, you know. Taunts, I've never understood this in multiplayer games, why people are excited about unlocking taunts. It takes me back to Star Wars Battlefront, when you can unlock things like, oh, now your character can say, I've got a bad feeling about this, in the 10 seconds whilst the game starts. And it's like, well, whoop-de-doo. So it has that. So if you really like taunts or outfits, then that's there.
And there are a couple of other things you could unlock along the way, I guess. So you start the game with there were three different loadouts, I think. There was Assault, Sniper and Ambusher. And like you say, they were fairly competent loadouts. One of them starts with the Rocket Launcher, and the Rocket Launcher, I mean, that was a bit silly starting the Rocket Launcher in my mind, but it was a good weapon, so you never felt like you were, oh man, they're all shooting me with Rocket Launchers and I've just got a handgun. So at least it was fair, even if the default weapon might have been something like a plasma rifle, might have been might have felt more apt. But then there's also the hack module concept, right, where you would be able to get randomly awarded these hack modules, and then you could pre-select them at the start of the match to give you very like little in-game bonuses. So for instance, you might have they came in like a bronze, silver and gold structure, but you could get ones that made you run faster, or ones that gave you like a little blip on the radar if an enemy came near, ones that let you sort of see the enemy's health over, you know, when you're shooting them.
Basically akin to quite a Titanfall's lot of them. Akin to Titanfall's cards, like the original Titanfall.
Yeah. There were quite a lot of them, and I guess that provided a collectible element, but it was all It felt pretty random at the end of a match. It's like, what's all this stuff appearing and dropping? And then you use it and it's like, oh, you get to use it for 30 seconds of a match. And it's kind of,
And you've got that whole horrible thing where you've finished a match and it's like a minute till the next one starts. You're like, I've got all of this stuff that I'm trying to, you're unlocking that, you're trying to change your outfit, load out, and you've got no time to do it. So you have to basically disconnect so you can look at all the stuff you've amassed, work it out and go, oh, okay, I don't want any of it, and then reconnect and go back in. Which is, I mean, it's systematic of all multiplayer first-person shooters, really. You just unlock a constant wave of stuff that ultimately makes no difference a lot of the time. But it has all of that.
Just one last thing to mention, I guess, and that was, it was, again, part of the arcade-style arena shooter, really, but there was a lot of pickups. So you didn't get health back at all, naturally. So you'd have to run around and scoop up all the health packs that you found, of which there are many very tiny ones, kind of like, oh, five health everywhere. There were also armor packs, and you could pick up kind of one-off specials like haste or invisibility or quad damage.
And shields and stuff as well.
Yeah.
You had like a separate health and shield bar, didn't you?
And the demon transformation, I guess, was just one of those pickups, really. It was the demon rune, I think, or something. So
yeah. That was pretty cool.
On paper, it has quite a lot of elements that could be fun, but on execution, it fell a bit flat. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't put my finger on why that was. It just, something about it was not right.
Let's move on to the likes and dislikes and see if we can break it down, what we did and didn't like about the game. So I'll kick off with my usual honorary mention of anything modding or user content related I love. And one of the things they brought in with Doom was the Snap Map Editor. It's just a tool which lets you design your own levels using a modular system so you can pop rooms together in corridor components and then set the elements that are going to be in certain rooms or in certain areas. So one of the good things, I think, was that this is built to work on both the console and the PC. So even the console players get to build their own maps and share them online. But then the flip side of it is, because it's very modular and you're picking things from a list and putting them on a grid, it obviously wasn't kind of a full world editor. You couldn't necessarily build anything you wanted. But you could use Snap Map both in single player and multiplayer to make a short campaign map or a multiplayer arena. So it's kind of cool. I like anything which gives you more content. Anything which encourages people to make 1,000 levels means you always get to find at least 10 that are really good, you know.
It's also nice that it was done in such a way that it's not like your kind of Steam Workshop, oh, you can add mods, but you kind of need to know a bit of programming to do it. I mean, it literally is a case that anyone could use it, really. It's kind of the Disney Infinity style of, you know, a kid could build a basic map with this, which is, I always think that's nice because you don't need advanced stuff. I mean, it's always nice when you can add your own textures and stuff, and if you've got something that you can show off, it's really good. But it's nice for inclusion's sake to be able to just let anyone build their own maps. So that's pretty cool. I mean, following on from that, really, I felt that the level design was really good. I mean, it's the standard arenas, but they had lots of different elements going on. So I remember there was one map that had like lava flowing through it, so you had to like jump over like these little floating bits, and there's like quite a good bit of verticality going on, so you have to go up and down as well as just around in an arena. So it didn't do badly in terms of different maps. I mean, they weren't massively different. I mean, if you look at something like the original Titanfall, where you had like the difference between, say, Angel City, and then you had things like that rainforest level, or you had the one on the mining colony, they're all very, very different. Obviously, some of those were DLC, so I don't know if that changed in that. But it felt to me, I mean, Doom itself, every level is pretty much the same, realistically. Yeah. Apart from the ones when you're in hell, where it's like, oh, okay, now you're not in a industrial metal ship type setup. You're now on a red rock. But apart from that, it's fairly similar. But the actual maps felt good. The only thing I would say is that they didn't look anywhere near as good as the single player game. Like, the textures were not the same quality or resolution. The lighting wasn't as good. It in many ways felt like it was built in a different engine. like that's how stark the difference was, to my eyes at least, which I think goes back to the fact that they had a separate development team working on the single player as the multiplayer. And I'm pretty sure what happened is that the multiplayer launched and had all kinds of problems, like initially. We didn't play it at that point. And then they basically bought it in-house to try and fix it up later. Yeah. And we played it, I think, before they'd done that, but not much before. So it might be better now, but it really looked very different. It looked like a poor man's clone of Doom than the single player, which I think
I
is better.
That was super weird. And I get that they downgrade the graphics a little bit to keep frame rate maximum, even when there's 20 people running around. But it did feel like a significant jump down when you're on your 1080 and you're expecting glossy, shiny graphics. But so moving on from the level design, I thought that the game itself actually moved like a good arcade-style shooter. I mean, it moved around pretty fast, but not ridiculously fast. You could double jump, and there were lots of little pressure pads that threw you up in the air and lifts. I don't know, I guess it goes hand-in-hand with the level design, but getting around the level felt good. Like you could get to where you wanted to go, it wasn't frustrating. There were places where you could be which were advantageous for the different types of weapons, and sort of hopping around, jumping. There was maybe a bit too much jumping, like these sort of games have. Everyone's hopping around all the time. It's a little bit like, it's like watching bunny rabbits trying to shoot each other.
Yeah.
So maybe some sort of limitation on that might have been nice. But overall, I thought it did well. I mean, it's not vastly different in terms of jumping around to something like Unreal. And for this style of game, which is meant to be a little less serious, it was nice getting around.
The only other like I had was that if you're someone that really liked the multiplayer, it was great that you were really well catered for in terms of DLC, and that you had 3 DLC packs that you could download. Because often with these kind of experiences, you can be like, oh, I really love the multiplayer, but the multiplayer just gets lost in the dirt because they don't maintain it or do anything with it. Whereas it really felt like they did put a lot of effort into trying to make this a compelling multiplayer experience. So it's nice that there was so much DLC there. Although, like I said earlier, I think it suffered from the Titanfall problem of we're charging for DLC. So it's like, well, the number of people playing those maps is small. If you try and get a game with the base game, you're going to suffer trying to find a game, I would think, now. And it's particularly strange because obviously that's what happened with Titanfall, and that was a big criticism of their how they rolled that out. And so in Titanfall 2, they fixed that by saying all of our DLC is going to be free. Like everyone will get the same maps and that kind of stuff. And then Doom came along and was like, hey, look at all this DLC we've got for maps. And it's like, from a game developer perspective, I completely appreciate it. I think selling maps is a great way of generating revenue. Is so much better than doing like freemium bollocks. On the other hand, there is a very inherent problem of if you charge for DLC, then some people can't play, because if you're in a different rotation system, server matching gets a lot more difficult. And you don't want to have paid for DLC and then never play the map, because it's constantly matching you with people that didn't pay for the DLC. And similarly, if you didn't pay for it, you don't want to be sat constantly waiting because there's no one to play with. So it's a tricky problem to solve, but they didn't.
and with so many bits of DLC, the fragmentation just gets worse and worse. I mean, if there is just a season pass or not, maybe that's not too bad. But when there's 3 different DLCs, you might only have one of them right, and then you're limited to groups. We especially find the game as it was even before the DLC came out. So,
and it's get worse as well, because of course you're not just dealing with maps, you're dealing with weapons, which Titanfall never did. I mean, it was just like literally you pay for the maps, whereas they're like, oh yeah, here's a weapon. It's like, well, at that point, in order to make the weapon compelling, it's going to have to be a bit more supercharged. So then you've kind of got an inherent unbalance if you play against someone that doesn't have the DLC. So, tricky problem.
Well, we've tried to be positive with our likes. Not sure many of them came across as positive, but you should probably get comfortable for our dislikes. So, I'm going to kick off with the... you mentioned it earlier, but the shitty menu system. And it's... It sounds like such a minor gripe, but every time we went to play the game, you're like, right, launch the game, wait for a minute for the screen to come up. Hit multiplayer, whole game shuts down, wait another minute or two, and it's just like, this is your first impression. Like, you want to play multiplayer, and the very first thing you're hit with is a frustration that really shouldn't be there. I mean, surely we're better than this now. It's kind of, maybe I can just start the multiplayer straight from Steam or something, but every time we did it, I just started one of our game sessions by swearing at my game. That's there not what you want.
There is no legitimate reason to have separate launches for multiplayer and single player. No reason at all. There is no reason, unless, as I've posited earlier, they are using completely different game engines, because they are actually completely different games built by different developers, which is my feeling, is that throughout this period of our dislikes, you should keep Doom single player completely detached, because it's no reflection on that game.
No.
This is essentially a separate game completely, and it really feels like it when you're forced to restart in multiplayer mode. It's like, oh.
Just, and I think we'll come to that in the summary. I think we'll probably talk nicely of the single player one more time. But what was your next dislike then?
It was pretty much what I alluded to with the DLC, which is low player numbers. I mean, we had a hard time getting matchmaking, and that was maybe a month or two after the game had launched, I think. Mm. I think it was around the time that the first DLC pack was about to launch, because I got excited and thought, oh, cool, new maps. Then I found out I had to pay for them, and I was like, oh, okay, never mind then. So it wasn't that far in, and even then we had quite a lot of time sort of kicking around waiting for matches to start. Because of the low numbers, it meant the matchmaking was very poor, and we were constantly against people that were way better than us, like with all their shiny armor and all their unlocks, and they know the maps inside out. Now, I mean, I said this earlier on with the DLC, these are inherent problems in multiplayer game experiences. Sometimes we get lucky, like with games like Rocket League, where because of the sheer number of people constantly playing, it's very easy to matchmake to people around your level. And even they get it wrong sometimes, but it's a problem of numbers. If you only have 1,000 people online and they're 5-minute matches, then that means you've got maybe 40 people to choose from for a 10-player game. And that's not much to go off for matchmaking-wise. I can only imagine that problem is worse now when you've got three pieces of different DLC and even less people playing because the game is older. So that was frustrating then. It's probably worse now.
It was okay playing Team Deathmatch, right? Like, we always found a Team Deathmatch game. And maybe the matchmaking wasn't great, but we at least always found a game.
There were some modes we couldn't even play.
Yeah, the other game modes.
Oh, maybe. Let's play Capture the Flag. Oh, there's 5 people online. Oh.
Probably could have waited if we could have recorded the podcast while we waited for a game. And then
it was reminiscent of Sunset Overdrive's waiting for a game, bro.
That's only going to get worse over time, unfortunately. Yeah. So we talked about the demon possession earlier, and I think we probably covered it enough, but I just wanted to mention it as one of my dislikes. I thought it was a little bit overpowered, and especially in a team game where you're kind of, haha, now their team has got 25 more points because they got a demon possession. There is a chance of winning. It's kind of, it doesn't feel like a random pickup should be enough to turn the tide of a game. It should be down to player skill more, you know.
No.
Yeah, like, I didn't get by with the demon possession. Maybe if it was you get to unlock it after 5 or 10 minutes of playing or something, or get 10 kills. So it's more skill-based, and or you could actually get it even when the opponent got it. But the fact there's only ever one running around, it was a bit frustrating.
Those are the kind of things where in like Star Wars Battlefront, and I believe Battlefield 1 and stuff like that as well, it works because you've got 20v20 games, and at the same time that someone is Luke Skywalker, someone is Darth Vader, and so it balances out. Whereas that didn't happen. We never saw two demons fighting each other, because that doesn't happen. Because there's one token for anyone to pick up. So it's just, not great. I mentioned it earlier, but I just disliked the sheer number of things to unlock and level up. So you had hack modules, random match rewards, level ups, loadouts, outfits, challenges, taunts. It's just like, I miss the days when you played GoldenEye is a good example, where there's no unlocks. You had all the weapons. It's like, what are we playing? We're playing grenade launchers. All right. And there's four different guns. And in some places, you're going to get a really bad club. In some places, you're going to get a grenade launcher. You pick it up, you shoot at people. Easy. Whereas I don't like it necessarily when you've got like, oh, that guy's level 40, so he's got access to that gun, and he's got access to a gun that's got a larger ammo clip. You've got nothing unless you play this for ages. And it's like, oh, it's just demotivating. And it's difficult to say that, especially when we played hundreds and hundreds of hours of Titanfall, which does the exact same thing. But they did theirs in a different way, which didn't seem as overwhelming necessarily, or as necessarily, I don't know, there was something different about it. And I think it was because that was the game, like there was nothing else. Mm. Whereas this is related to it is that through all of these unlocks, there was no improvements to the weapons themselves. In Doom single player, one of the big things you do is upgrade your weapons. So you can change your shotgun to have like fire bullets and stuff. There wasn't any of that in the multiplayer, and it's like, what? Why? Like, you've added all of this other random crap. Why wouldn't you put that in? So it's just awkward, very odd leveling system that just meant that you seemed to be collecting stuff for the sake of it, and like none of it seemed to do much that you wanted sometimes. Maybe if you dug into it, it would.
On the flip side, I just didn't like it. I at least felt it didn't unbalance the game. Apart from the hack modules, there weren't many unlocks where I was like, oh, that guy's got this ridiculous gun with all these upgrades. So, I mean, that's the saving grace. But yeah, I agree. It just didn't feel valuable. Like, it wasn't motivating to chase the pickups. And we're not 100% sure why, but it just didn't work. So again, I mentioned this earlier, but it's on my dislike list, so I'm going to re-emphasize it. But having the rocket launcher as a default weapon, I just didn't like it. Both thematically, but also, it was kind of a weird hybrid. It was obviously a fairly powerful starting weapon, because every time you fire a rocket, it's got an area of effect, so you can be a bit shit and you can still hit people. But on the flip side, because it was a default weapon, it couldn't be that powerful. It's a fucking rocket launcher, right? I shouldn't have to hit a Doom guy three times in the face with it.
No.
It's a rocket launcher.
Nearby should kill something.
So because it was a default weapon, it had to not do much damage. So just don't make a rocket launcher a default weapon. I know it's trying to kind of be cool and fun arcade arena shooter. Hey, you know, we're Unreal, you can just jump around and shoot things. But yeah, right out the box, that didn't sit well with me, and I hoped it would grow on me over time. But, I mean, I reasonably liked using the weapon. I just wished it was not the thing everyone had.
It was an odd design choice. I want to talk about one bugbear we both had, which is the announcer in the game. Now, if you think about other games with announcers, you've got like Unreal Tournament, where it's like quad god mode, and it's like he's really into it, multi kill, and he's good. That's how an announcer should sound. Sunset Overdrive took that further with their basically piss take of Unreal Tournament with the super combo multi pigeon ultra kill, which is amazing. And I've been playing Darkest Dungeon lately, which has got the most amazing announcer that just says things like a decisive pummeling, and that's how an announcer should sound. The announcer in Doom sounds like, I don't even know, it sounds like some sort of androgynous robot that's had all emotion drained from it. It's just appalling. And you did some googling around, didn't you? Because you were like, this announcer's not very good. And you googled around, and like, literally, like, all the negative reviews of the game are about the announcer.
he just
sounds terribly bored.
I just don't understand how the brief was for his role. You think when you're in the studio recording this, it must be like, imagine you're depressed, you're in hell, and now don't try and make it exciting, just make it like you're in hell.
You remember when Destiny came out, the alpha, I think it was, or maybe the beta, and they got Peter Dinklage, who is Tyrion in Game of Thrones, to do the voice for it, and people were like, oh, it sounds so bad, it's like really phoned in, it's terrible, and I was like, sounds right to me. Sounds like a little robot. It's fine. This is so much worse than that. This is just literally like the guy couldn't be bothered.
The funny thing about Destiny,
I don't know how it got through QA.
But in Destiny, they actually changed the voice like a year after release. And in my mind, it went from an averagely but okay little robot voice to an average but okay robot voice. It wasn't any better. It was just different in my, you know, didn't really sound any better. So that was such a weird change. But I mean, if Doom just had one of those two guys doing the announcer, it would have been better. And I don't know whether it was just the guy doing the voices was told not to. Yeah, you know, surely he would. He's heard these sort of things before. So,
but also
the game design to blame.
It's not him. It's not difficult to get an announcer. You just go sound someone in the dev team and get someone to do it. Like I keep mentioning Titanfall, but it's a good touchstone because in the story mode, which we all know was bollocks, the girl in it on the Resistance side, she manned the telephone company, the telephones in Respawn, and they got the receptionist to do the voice for their game because they weren't happy with their voice acting. And it's like, that's what you do. If the Doom announcer sounds bored, just put on a voice. Anyone could have done it.
They should have got the Churchill dog to do it. Oh, yes. Oh, quad damage. No. Oh, that would have been amazing.
Oh, God. So is this John Wordsworth available for voice acting work?
I've got my own mic. Just call me up. I'll phone it in.
A gin and tonic an hour.
So just a couple of final comments, I guess, before we wrap up. And then, it's not necessarily a dislike or a like. For us, it's dislikes. But overall, I didn't feel like there was really much you could do as a team. You were just running around in the arena and shooting each other. And, a bit of a shame. There wasn't we particularly like games that we can play together, not just being in the same area, but actually work together. And we never did that at all, did we? Played for maybe only sort of 6 hours or something in the multiplayer, but we didn't ever feel like we were actually on. I mean, apart from following the same score going up. Not often going up, but...
I'll watch out for that guy that just got the demon token. Thanks. That was literally the extent of our co-op.
We're going to die again.
The only thing I had that's not really a like or dislike is the jumping around, which is an inherent problem of these games. I just kind of feel like it needed... not anything realistic, but just like a little bit of a stamina bar just so that you couldn't constantly jump. Like maybe you get 3 jumps and you have to wait 2 seconds before you can jump for a bit longer. Just because you can't shoot someone that's just bounding around. And it just looks stupid because it kind of looks back like at the original Halo when, you know, the physics weren't great. People are just bouncing around and there was like 3 animation states. That's how it looks. It just looks like a guy squatting and jumping around the place. And you're like, oh, why am I playing this? I could be playing a real first-person shooter.
Yeah, a real game.
Yeah.
No, so the last thing we always do on Connect with the Host is... would we play it again, and would you recommend it? So you can kick off.
I would not play it again. Probably not even for money. It was a dire experience that I wanted to end as soon as we started doing it. I remember when you said to me, "Oh, we need to do a podcast. We should do it on Doom." I've left it installed so we can play like for half an hour so we can refresh our memory. And I was just like, "No, no."
It's already burned itself in.
I don't need to remind myself of it. I couldn't, in good consciousness, recommend it to anyone as a multiplayer experience. But that's the joy of it. It is a full single-player awesome game for probably about £20. You can get it on Steam, on disc for Xbox or PlayStation. You can probably get it for about that. So buy it. Enjoy the single-player. It's amazing. You'll get a really good experience from it, but don't go into the multiplayer thinking you're going to have anything other than a horrible time. Dare I say, hellish time.
No, my recommendation and final comments are very similar. I'm not ever going to play this in multiplayer again. The market's flooded with multiplayer games and there's a lot of other things I'd rather play. And for the same reason, can't recommend that you buy it for a multiplayer game. The single player is stunning. I mean, if you like first person shooters generally, you should like the single player. And if you like Doom, you will love this. It harks right back to the days of where you pick up a chainsaw, you slice people up, run around like a madman. Hiding behind cover is not the way to win this game. It's jumping around the battlefield, getting in their face and just shooting them with a shotgun. And it really gets that feel of Doom right. So, yeah,
I recommend it. Constant movement is key. And that feel like they've even made the mechanics, like the fact that you have to do these brutal kills to get health. They've even made it so that, like, if you think of a traditional first-person shooter of you having to take cover to heal, they want you to slow down and sort of take it stage by stage. This is all about movement forward, and even the way you get health back is by attacking, which is great. It's a good game. It's completely different to Doom 3. There's no, you know, darkened areas where things jump out at you. It's very much a case of traditional arcade run around, blow shit up. A lot of fun.
And we do focus on the multiplayer, but one thing I will say, if you do pick it up as single player, is you might have to fight a little bit through. I think it was like the second level, which is lots of... it was a weird kind of, find the tunnels and kind of navigate through this level, which the rest of the game didn't feel like at all.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine, but I know a couple of people were like, oh, I played the second level, I didn't really like it. So, no, just get through it, because the rest of the game is just mad demon-killing action.
Once you get to the foundry, that's where it starts to jump up a notch, really. It's a good game, highly recommended.
Yeah, I recommend it single player, but if you do not pick it up for a multiplayer experience. So cool. So thanks for listening. You've been listening to Connecting to Host, and you can see some of our other shows or find out more about us at our website, connectingtohost.co.uk. We'd love it if you hit us up on Twitter at CTHcast. You can recommend games for us to play in the future or just give us some feedback on the show. And if you did enjoy listening, then please head over to iTunes and leave us a review.